I'm just going to ask the only comment that we'd asked it before us, just to make a little change. Comment on this.
Galatians 5. Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, who have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if my brothers still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you who are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Thank you, Naomi. For anybody who asks, yes, we had a lovely holiday. We had the true Lake District experience with lots of rain and glowing stuff, and we had about 2 good days. But, you know, just made it very, very authentic. But we were staying in the Bible College. They reserved a room for us. It was very quiet and very much in the country. Sort of noises that we hear here, like sirens and that, were actually replaced by bleating lambs. Which was very, very pleasant, and God was around us, and we found his presence there, and very friendly. So we continue with Galatians 5. Now, Abby last week told you all the benefits of freedom. Being children of God, not being slaves to sin, being not just children that live in an orphanage, but real relatives. With no real relatives, no hope of obedience, of being adopted, but children made. We are made children. God has done that for us. A heavenly home to look forward to. An inheritance. Eternal life. A relationship with our Heavenly Father. A right to call him Abba Father. And that we are bought with a price. The great advantages of Jesus living in us by his Holy Spirit is freedom. There's some of the things, you know, freedom, children of God, a heavenly home, a relationship with the Father, eternal life. But as Paul comes into Galatians 5, he says that doesn't give you a license to do whatever you want. I love how this verse starts. In some versions it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Well, the words of a song are like that, which seems a little bit obvious. Now, it was a very obvious statement, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. But Paul is really, really, really enthusiastic about this. This is important to him. He believes this is really, really important. And hence we get that rather uncomfortable verse halfway through the Galatians where he says he wished people who were on the other point of view would emasculate themselves. Okay, we won't dwell on that. But that's how Paul was so into this, so much wanted this to be right. And so we find in this chapter that Paul gives us a few choices, three that I've picked out. But they're not choices that you can say, well, you know, it's perhaps a bit of one and a bit of the other, or in this part of my life I can be like this. In church I can appear, I've got it all together, but my personal life is perhaps a mess. At work I'm diligent and hardworking. When I get home I need my wife to do everything. Or the other way round. Let's not be sexist about this. Or when I'm with my spouse, I'm attentive and loving, but when I'm running down the pub with my mates, I'm telling stories about her that are perhaps not right to be said. And then complaining about her, whichever way round that is. And so we're presented with three clear choices that affect all our lives in every situation. They're not to be taken to either one or the other. You can't decide on both. And those choices are these. Christ versus the law, freedom versus slavery, and flesh versus spirit. And so we'll start looking at these. See, these points, particularly the first one, Christ versus the law, they're mutually exclusive. You can't have both of them. You can't have a bit of one and a bit of the other. It's either the law or Christ. They don't work together. If you then abide by the law, given at Sinai, if you trust in the law to make you right with God, then you don't trust in Jesus. If by thinking the law's requirements and meeting them, you get adoption. Adoption is never promised in the Old Testament. It's not in the law. You don't get become a Jew suddenly in the Old Testament by following the law. If you consider by obeying the law you get to heaven, in fact the law only condemns you. And if by being circumcised, and that's an outward ritual, okay, does nothing to the heart, doing all the right stuff, being good, you get a relationship with Jesus. No, that doesn't happen, or a relationship with the Father. The two are mutually exclusive. The law tells you that you are sinful, and you can never, ever meet the standard that God expects. Try all you like. Circumcision is only outward. It doesn't affect the person you are. It doesn't change your heart. It's only a surface action. It doesn't get rid of guilt. And guilt is one of the hardest things we fight about. Guilt and shame. It doesn't remove the sense of failure. It only tells you all the things you can't do. The whole list of things that you can't do, that you can't be up to, a standard you can't reach. You can't reach righteousness, you can't reach perfection, you can't reach holiness via the law. And so then if you just then add Jesus on top, i.e. my righteousness plus Jesus, and my good works plus the cross, it doesn't work at all. It's got to be one or the other. Because the law teaches us we've just missed out. And we're excluded from that relationship with the Father by our sin. We're simply, on our own, not good enough. Romans 3:20. For the works of the law, or by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight as in God's sight. Since through the law only comes a knowledge of sin. You just can't add Christ onto the law, or the law onto Christ. They're opposites. They're two different routes. They're like the difference between a good sat-nav and a bad sat-nav. Like one that leads you off a cliff. Or you end up parking on the beach when the tide's coming in. I've got a little one for the young, so close to the young people. I bought the new U2 sat-nav. It's rubbish, there's three sat-nav names, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's like building your house in the sand rather than the rock. Jesus talked about that, as we know. And the problems have been working in the building company, and had lots of fun with substance. You've got half on it and one half on the other. The building doesn't tend to stay up. In the main, it falls off. It comes apart. Big cracks appear in the walls. You can't have both together. So the choice between Christ and the law. Second choice, between freedom and slavery. Now, who would choose slavery over freedom? But we get ourselves in a situation where we do. So we think that freedom is just doing our own thing. Perhaps an illustration, a harsh illustration, that I come up with, which is really quite deep and hard, so I apologise if you're upset by this. Perhaps it comes with drug taking. It starts off with a recreational drug. What a contradiction that is, a recreational drug. I only take this drug so that to have recreation, to have time of pleasure. And drugs, apparently, do give pleasure, but I've experienced it myself. They create a joy, the high is enjoyable, or a sense that everything's well with the world, and we hide behind the problems, and they will disappear for a while because we've taken drugs. But to keep the same experience, then we have to take more and more. This is what Phil, recovering drug addict, said. I managed to take these drugs successfully for quite some time. I knew that I had to be careful and moderate my drug use, as I'd learned a lot about the nature of addiction from going to meetings. But as an addict, a downward spiral slowly started to develop where I began to lose control of the amount I would take. Eventually, my drug taking became the worst it had been, and I knew that my life was rapidly falling apart at the seams again. Finally, the day came when the utter denial I had suffered was completely over, as I remembered the book Alcoholics Anonymous said that drug addiction is progressive illness and that we always get worse, never better. This guy Phil realised he was a slave to his addiction. And I sort of wondered how much like slavery to the law is this? It's like this. Paul said that if you get circumcised as a Gentile, you make yourself subject to the whole law. The whole of the Torah, you're subject to the whole law. And the circle begins. You break the law, one law, and you feel guilty. Realise you need to do better. To make up for this feeling of guilt, perhaps you find more laws that you need to obey to make it better. The Pharisees were great at this. They added to the law given at Sinai until every part of life was controlled and was enshrined in the law. And of course, that made you have to keep checking to see you were doing it right. So you couldn't possibly remember all the laws and all the things you had to do. And if you didn't, you keep feeling more and more guilty. And the downward cycle comes, so you have to work harder and harder, perhaps do penance and punish yourselves, until it was going through a deeper, deeper downward circle, and you realising you just couldn't get any better, however hard you worked. And then the anti thing for this is you become judgmental. You expect then others to obey the laws that you have put in place. And that ruins relationships. And you destroy people what you say you think they should be doing. And you tie them up in bondage too. Almost like getting someone to take drugs with you. We have to understand that the law just sets the standard. Always only teaches us what we're doing wrong. It never corrects or solves the problem. Galatians 3:23-25. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Some versions put that as a school teacher or a tutor. So they're only telling us what we've done wrong, only telling us what we should be doing. But only faith in Jesus can correct this problem. The freedom Paul's talking about here is freedom from the guilt of failing to make the standard, of reaching that standard. It's release from the effort, from the work of keeping the law, of trying to make ourselves righteous, working to try and make ourselves look good, live right. But Jesus, as we celebrated this morning, took our punishment, took our sin, and nailed it to the cross for himself. There is all the sins we can think of on the cross. He used his righteousness to give us righteousness in our own effort. And gave us all the benefits Abby spoke about. So the choice between slavery and freedom is an easy one, perhaps. But then we don't. Often as not, we choose slavery. Because we like things to be ordered. Like things to be under control and have nice, fixed rules. But that comes after that we want to obey Jesus. We want to live for Jesus, and that affects our lives. As I said a few weeks ago, it's about the change of the heart that then enables us to love God and do what he wants. And then the answer to that is, of course, flesh versus spirit. Another choice. Do we live according to what our body and mind say, or what our spirit connected to the Holy Spirit wants us to do? It's almost like you've got things in front of you. A body might be in the front of your stage, what your body wants you to do. It's at the front, it gets to choose it, it gets to say. Well, Paul is saying here, actually, our spirits, by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, should be the thing that guides us and leads us. Because living by what we feel or what our flesh does, it leaves us nowhere. In verse 19, Paul says, come to here first. I got there under a little. Yeah, it's later on. Let's go here first. It's not up there. Okay, that's fine. I do. I've come off that before. I'm going to mess it up. Put that back for me. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. Well, what a list. I'm sure you can pick up things you definitely don't do in there. But there are things in there, and they come slightly more subtle. Of course, the first reaction I expect of you is, I'm not like that. And that would be my reaction too. If I saw that list independently on the right, I'm not any of that. But perhaps it's when somebody says something you don't like. What is your initial reaction? You say something back that you know will upset people. That's what we do. We're very good at pouring vinegar. Vinegar's not good for wounds into wounds. Perhaps when jumping the queue. Our reaction is to call them out. And a little story from my holiday, which is quite hard for me to tell you because it's against me. Okay, so we'll go there. We're waiting outside in Sable Blue, because Nikki needs to go in Sable Blue, because you can't do that. And we're waiting there, and is waiting for a while. And this man comes up, and he has two of his children, one in his hand, one in his arms. And he keeps sort of sidling past us. We're trying to work out what he's doing. And then he goes in front of us and goes to the Sable Blue. And says, well, we're actually waiting for that. And he comes back and says to me, well, I'm going to go and get my wife out of the Sable Blue. She's in a wheelchair. So imagine the feeling of, oops. I probably reacted a little bit too early to that. I should have just set back. You know, and I understand that I don't have X-ray vision or that I can read his mind. But my instant reaction to him trying to push in front of me, as I thought, my reaction was to call him out. And so I spent quite a while feeling guilty about that, as Nikki will tell you. Took the wrong route out of the town, ended up going up into the countryside, into the hills, and were laid back into them. It was beautiful, yes, but I was stressing. Because I felt bad about the fact that I jumped to a conclusion that I should have just perhaps kept my mouth shut. And on the other side, then this lady came out. He's obviously told his wife about this, and she had a go at me. And so that could be even worse now, okay? I've got a wrong decision in my hand. And all I could say, thank you God, in that situation was sorry. No, she still carried on. I didn't have anything more to say. I'd said sorry. If I said anything more, I was just going to make her angrier. It really is hard and difficult, even for me, not to react to situations. Perhaps it's when someone has what we want, we can't afford it. We label them as keeping up with the Joneses. Envy, jealousy. We simply can't stop ourselves or help ourselves reacting in the wrong way. Our mind simply, automatically, wants to be the winner. We want to say that killer comment that puts things down, that stops it, that we won. I won, I beat them. We reach out and we take that before we even consider the consequences. And so perhaps some of those things on that list, if we look at it again, anger, envy, jealousy, enmity, perhaps they are more us than we think or than we'd ever consider. We are controlled by our flesh so very, very much, and that's not the way it's meant to be. Romans 6, 12 to 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So perhaps this is something we should be thinking about. Perhaps it's something that we should repeat in our minds. Sin won't have dominion over me. Sin won't have dominion over me because I'm under grace, not under the law. Sin won't have dominion over me because I'm under grace, not under the law. But Paul also defines what living by the Spirit looks like. So here we go, we have a nice tree. I tried not to get a picture that had fruit on it for that very reason then. Because some of them are bananas. But there we go. So love, joy, peace, patience. And by the way, that's not just the ability to wait, but waiting with the right attitude. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But how to do this? And this is the real challenge. I must be loving, and if not, I'll feel guilty and punish myself. Clang, the shackles of slavery are back on. I've made a rule for myself, and the yoke is back on our shoulders. The truth is that we can't achieve this on our own. And if I'm trying, if the me here is trying to achieve this on my own, I've completely missed the point. Missed the point of this whole sermon. Okay? Trying to do it on our own, we can't do it. And that's why Paul says, live by the Spirit. That means we've got to be listening when we're going to talk. But we've got to be quiet. We've got to take some practical steps to keep ourselves in line with the Spirit. Sorry, daily prayer. I know everyone doesn't like devotionals or calling it that, but daily prayer. It doesn't have to be, as I've said before, you set 5 minutes apart and you read down your list. It's actually about being in communication. You can pray while you're doing the washing up.
Yeah.
You can pray while you're walking the dog. It's just talking to Jesus. It really is that simple. It's just talking to Jesus. And I know we get all forms, and I'm as bad as you. I've brought up the Wolf Rice version. Praying virtually with the these and nows in, which was totally allergic to me. There's no need for that necessarily. You need to talk to Jesus as if he is your friend. You talk to the Father as you have a real relationship with him. And perhaps a daily prayer we can use is this. Holy Spirit, I give you today. May I do everything you lead me to do and nothing my friend's flesh wants me to do that is harmful either to me or to others. Lead me and guide me in what I do. If I'm going to do wrong, wake me up to hear you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's quite a daily prayer to make, but it's a good daily prayer. Actually, you're handing your day over to the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. And as I've said so many times before, get to know God. And it's all in this Bible, all in the Bible. I was watching something, was it? This is the best manual you could have. Because I pray that our book launch, that's the best manual to life you can have. And we need to know it well. And words like surrender, repentance. I had to repent of what I did for that family in disabled Louis Booms in that town. Perseverance. Keep going. Rather than feel guilty and living shame and imperfection. God wants to lead you towards this way. The Holy Spirit wants to take you on this journey. And obviously, we'll never be perfect until we meet Jesus. But living for God can never be hard work. I'm glad we'll be perfect until we meet Jesus, because I'm not going to be there before that. And those other people around me won't make that either. But in comfort, Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We so think we have to work so hard for our salvation. But that's not the case at all. It's a gift. Given. It's a gift. Given. After that, there's some work to do, but it should never be onerous. It should be something that you don't want to do. You should never go into a Christian work as thinking, you know, this is hard work. This is something I've got to carry. It should be easy. You have to believe Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do all this for us. And he has done all. And perhaps that is the key. Believe in Jesus. So, Christ versus the law. Needing to follow the law is saying, I don't need Jesus. The only way the law of sin and death can be defeated is Jesus taking our sin and dying our death as the law requires. The law can only bring us shame, freedom versus slavery. Slavery is a no-free road. The law can only bring us shame and make us feel guilty. And this enslaves us in a wish to do better, to do more, to work harder. The freedom Jesus gives us, the one freedom Jesus won for us, the freedom won by Jesus doesn't give us the license and freedom to sin, but gives us the benefits of the children of God. And flesh versus spirit, what are you led by? Are you controlled by your body and mind's desires? Or surrender to the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding. Paul says this in Galatians 2. I lost it again. Perhaps I haven't put it on there. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I pray this morning that we've made the right choices, we've made the right decisions, and we can choose between Christ and the law, choose Christ. Freedom and slavery, choose freedom. Flesh and the spirit, choose to be led by the Spirit of God. And so we're going to pray that prayer again. Holy Spirit, I give you today. May I do everything you lead me to do, and nothing my flesh wants me to do that is harmful either to me or to others. Lead me and guide me in all I do. And if I'm going to do wrong, wake me up to hear you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lots to think about, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to do our final song.